You have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 13. And starting in verse 8, the Bible reads, "And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife. I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the city of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." A lot is mentioned about 29 times in the book of Genesis. And not all of these mentions were positive. However, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, we see here that Lot is mentioned by name. And Peter called him in these verses a righteous man. And it reads, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Rather than serving God is not a blank check of a life free from trials. Most of the time that Lot is mentioned in the Bible, he is mentioned in the context of self-induced problems. Many of Lot's troubles could have been avoided by making better decisions based upon the will of God. In this lesson this evening, consideration is going to be made given to Lot's choice to pitch his tent toward Sodom, the consequences of his decisions, and how we can avoid this same trap. We cannot forget, even by reading Genesis 13, that Lot made the choice of pitching his tent toward Sodom. In Genesis, Moses introduces Lot as a member of Abraham's family. He was the nephew of Abram in Genesis 12, verse 15, and in Genesis 13, and verse 1, and it tells us that he traveled with Abraham. And Lot, like Abram, was a wealthy man. In Genesis chapter 13, and verses 2 through 5, we learn here that Abram was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. But we can also read that Lot had his flocks and herds in tents. It was the size of their wealth that created the strife from these earthly blessings. And Abraham and Lot chose to separate at Abram's urgings in Genesis 13, verses 6 through 9. Given the opportunity to choose where he would go, Lot made his choice based on appearances. Making judgments based on and decisions based on outward appearances can be dangerous. Appearances can oftentimes be misleading. We can look at a home from the outside that's been freshly painted. And inside that home, we can find, if we dug deep enough, rotted wood and insect infestation. But from the outside, things look nice. I'm sure a lot of us here has looked at a car or bought a car from the outside, looked really great until we got 20 miles down the road. Decisions about life are best made when they are based on the knowledge of God's will. James, in James chapter 4, in verse 13 through 16, and James wrote, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow we will go to a certain city and continue there for a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such boasting and rejoicing is evil. If you believe in God's word, then you know that His word is the perfect guide through life. We only have to read 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17 to tell us that God's word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And it also tells us that it will also thoroughly furnish us with all good works. It was Jesus when he told the Jews in John 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. But it brings up the question, do we as Christians, do we pitch our tent towards Sodom when it's time to make decisions about where we choose to live and work? Or how much money that we can make. I brought it up before, and I'm always reminded of Brother Ferris Austin. There are probably those here that know Ferris. That he was let go from his job that he worked in a warehouse, and he got a job as a working in business sales at a radio station in Charleston. And he was very successful, but he had one stipulation. When he was hired, that he would not go out and recruit business from any place that sold alcohol or did anything against his biblical beliefs. The other salesman became very jealous of Ferris because he was so successful in getting sales for the radio station. And there were businesses out there that wanted Ferris to represent them and take their business. But they held on to businesses that he was dead set against. He was told that he would have to take these businesses, and Ferris Austin quit the radio station. He chose not to pitch his tent towards Sodom. He was not going to lose his integrity with the Lord for the sake of gain. Do we pitch our tent towards Sodom by going about and watching and being entertained by things just because everyone else is doing it or they enjoy it? Are our decisions about fashion based on what is socially acceptable? Do we pitch our tent towards Sodom when we allow our children to make their own religious choices without our input? Well, what were the consequences of Lot's decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom? You know, the law of gravity teaches men that what goes up must come down. And man is not smart enough to outsmart the law of gravity. Oh, we can defy it for a little time. We can get into an airplane if somebody's thinking, well, we can fly. Well, just let that engine quit. Just let the wings fall off. And you're convicted by the law of gravity. God's law of sowing and reaping is unalterable. Paul in Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8, he wrote by inspiration, be not deceived, God is not mocked, that for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Just as no man has ever been able to outsmart God's law of gravity, no man is able to outsmart God's law of sowing and reaping. You know, one morning Lot woke up from a drunken stupor. The last of his two children were with by child by him. His wife was a pillar of salt in the valley below. All of Lot's earthly wealth and the rest of his children were buried in the ashes and brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot suffered. But Lot suffered often from his bad and poor decisions. In Genesis 14, verses 11 and 12, it tells us that Lot had suffered through war and was carried away as a captive, him and his family and his servants. In Genesis 19, the first 11 verses, and 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, reminds us that Lot was tormented by the citizens of Sodom. We only have to read the account to know where Sodom's poor choices caused him to go. All of this began to be set in the motion the day that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. But Sodom looked so good. And Lot's decision appeared to be wise. There was plenty of water and food for his livestock. He had cities nearby that he could have traded. He could have become richer. But maybe, just maybe, Lot thought that his righteousness would be the key to enjoy the best of both worlds. All these things that happened to Lot happened despite the fact that Lot was a righteous man. Men will reap what they have sown. I've heard many times in my life of people telling me of the decisions that they've made and how they've regretted making those decisions. Brethren, we cannot outsmart God's law of sowing and reaping. Now, how can we avoid these similar pitfalls? First of all, we must begin to accept that whatsoever our station is in at life, that that's where we're at. Now, I'm not saying that we should not improve our situation. But what I am saying is that we must improve our spiritual station in life so that our physical situation in life can improve. It improves by making decisions based on God's word and not based on our own emotions and feelings. Our mistakes that we've made in the past need to be left in the past. In Philippians 3 and verses 13 and 14, Paul, he rather than I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Now, Vicki and I was talking with someone this afternoon, and they made a point that in their lives they made many mistakes. But when they became a Christian, they repented, and all those mistakes were forgiven. And they've tried to the best of their ability to keep it behind them and to forget them. When we take care of our part with God, we should trust that God then will give us the provision of forgiveness. Christians must understand that godliness is a treasure that is to be valued far above all the gold that this world has to offer. If you look in the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives us some great advice when it comes to our spiritual standings. There's three verses there, three verses in Proverbs that I like to look at. The first is Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And Proverbs 3, verses 13 and 14. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and gain thereof than fine gold. At the third place, a Christian needs to live the redeeming of the time message found in Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, in the business world, employers appreciate what their employees have done in the past. But they also want to know what their employees are going to do for them now. Christians should always approach every day, not by remembering all the good that they've done in the past, but by asking, what am I doing for Christ now? Every wasted day is a day with one's tent pitched toward Sodom. You know, Lot's goal in life was not to wake up one morning from a drunken stupor as the father of his daughter's children. His desire was not to watch or allow his portfolio to go up in smoke. Nor did he want his wife to be turned into a pillar of salt and several of his children to be killed. But when Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, he began to sow seed which would reap bitterness. You know, we look at another example in Genesis chapter 22. Then we look at Isaac, Abraham's son. Now, Isaac was willing to be sacrificed in the worship of God. Now, for a while, he didn't know what was going on. But he allowed himself to be secured to that altar. He allowed the fire to be touched until God intervened. Why? Isaac trusted Abraham. And Abraham didn't pitch his tent toward Sodom. When Lot tried to save his children by telling them what the Lord was about to do to Sodom, they mocked him. His own children, they mocked him. The difference in the offspring of these two men was greatly influenced by where their tent was pitched. Abraham made it abundantly clear that he was looking for a city whose hands and foundations was not made by human hands, but by the hand of God. He lived his whole life in a tent. Him and his family, and they worship God together. Friends, the best place that a person can pitch their tent is in Christ. Paul in Galatians 3 and verse 17, he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Brethren, if you have not been baptized, you have not died. You have not died. But trust me when I say you're not alive either. Once in Christ, Christians need to keep their tents pitched in the Lord by serving Him each and every day in His church. If you're not a Christian tonight, ask the question, where is your tent pitched? What lies ahead for you by not being in the body? When we look through the whole book of Acts, in every sense where everyone was converted, baptism played the key role. From the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost to the Ethiopian nobleman to Cornelius to the Philippian jailer to Lydia to many of them and to Paul himself, their salvation was secured because they were baptized, not because they prayed, not because they did good works, but because they were baptized. God gave us His grand plan, exposed it out there for all of us to know and to see and to read and to understand. And so I asked you this evening, if your desire is to obey the gospel, to pitch your tent towards Christ, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. If that is your desire, but not so much in this venue, you only have to see me afterwards. Sometimes folks just don't want to be done in this setting. Then I understand that. So we give you that opportunity also. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you now realize that your tent is not pitched where it needs to be pitched, and you need to change direction. Maybe you need to be reconciled with God. Maybe you haven't been doing what God has asked you to do. We want to give you that opportunity tonight. If anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.